Good morning. What a great song service we've had and Lord's Supper. Hopefully we're prepared our minds for the study of God's Word. Today I want to talk about a definite problem that we have in the church and in the world. And in thinking about this, understanding that the church is in trouble. The church is in trouble for several reasons. Because of false teaching. False teaching is prevalent in today's church. We're also in trouble because of worldliness and tolerance. It seems like that tolerance of those things in the world are creeping into the church and causing some viewpoints that are troubling the church today. So understanding that the church is in trouble, I think it's important that we try to answer a few questions today and go to God's Scripture to answer those questions. The first question we have to ask is how? How does this happen? How has this happened? How does this situation occur? Why is the church in trouble? So the first place we may go is to think about, is the world worse? Has the world gotten worse? And if we look at Hebrews chapter 11 and what we normally call the faith chapter, and we look at those heroes of faith and we see what they overcame, we can quickly see that no, the world hasn't gotten any worse. It was bad then, it's bad now. So that's not the answer. Maybe it's because Satan is getting stronger. Maybe that's why the church is having problems. If we look at James chapter 4 and verse 7, we have a command there where it says, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." We read that scripture and we see, no, Satan isn't any stronger than he was in James. He isn't any stronger today than he was in the early church times. So that's not the answer to the problem. Satan's not any stronger today than he has been in the history of the world. So maybe it's that we're living in tougher times. Do we have a tougher time to live in? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, there in verse 13 we read, that no temptation has overcome you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. So we see there in the scriptures in the early church, we're not going to be tempted more than we're able to bear. So the question to Art, do we live in tougher times? Will we be tempted today to the point we can't bear it? No. It's no different than it was in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. So how does this happen? How do we... What's the root cause of the problem in the church? Well, my answer to that is... And the scripture's answer to that, as we're going to look today, is it's weak members. It's members that lack devotion, that lack dedication, that lack courage, that lack effort. You know, many Christians go through the motions and they worship not as John says in John chapter 4 and verse 24. As we're commanded, where it says there, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Have we really stopped to think about what that verse means? What it really means to worship God in spirit and in truth? You know, I believe many Christians today look at service to God, look at worshiping God as a hobby. And they are hobby Christians. So I want to look at some verses today, and I want to make sure that we don't make the same mistake and view service to God as just another hobby that we have here in this life. So I think the first place we need to go is define what is a hobby Christian. And we start by defining what a hobby is, so that we're all in the same place. Webster's Dictionary defines hobby as a pursuit outside one's regular occupation, engaged in especially for relaxation. The American Heritage Dictionary says it's an activity or an interest pursued outside one's regular occupation and engaged in primarily for pleasure. Look at those definitions. We can also see and know some synonyms for the word hobby, and it's a pastime, a diversion, or a sideline. You know, when we look at this and we consider the concept of a hobby Christian, no one should be a hobby Christian. A hobby is a pastime activity that is outside one's principal business or activity or one's purpose. So I'm going to look at how the next thing we need to consider is, okay, I understand what a hobby is, and I understand these verses that you've read, but how do I know whether I'm a hobby Christian or not? So I want to answer that question. You know you're a hobby Christian if, and we're going to look at several things, so get ready to turn to some scriptures and try to identify whether each one of us could be categorized as a hobby Christian. The first thing is, you know you're a hobby Christian if you serve God in your spare time. You know, when we think about hobbies, we normally do hobbies when there is nothing more important to do. Hobbies are put aside. We stop doing our hobby when we have some more important activity to do, don't we? And this is really a function of priority. And we understand that Christians may only serve the Lord if they have spare time. And many Christians will say, you know, I'm just really busy right now. Really busy. Life is really hectic. I really have a lot of things going on in life. But in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, the scripture tells us there that the Lord's work must be our full-time priority. Because it says there, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, in all your mind, and with all your strength. Wow. That doesn't leave any room, does it? Look at what he says there again. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. You love your Lord your God with everything that you have. Every part of your being, your priority, your number one priority is love the Lord. So we must love our Lord with all, emphasis there on all, of our being. When we think about this, we may think about things that we do in our spare time. No Sunday Bible study. You know, I worked late and I slept in. I couldn't make it to Bible study on Sunday morning. I attended Sunday morning service. I was here for the Lord's Supper and I was here for the sermon. I made time for that. No Sunday evening worship. You know, I got real busy at home Sunday afternoon. I just couldn't make it back Sunday evening. Or no Wednesday evening Bible study. You know, it's been a tough week. I'm really tired from work. And I just couldn't make it to Wednesday Bible study. Or maybe there's no Bible lesson because I was up late watching a movie and I'm pretty tired. Or maybe no Bible reading because I was too busy playing video games. Or maybe I made no calls to the sick because I had to clean the house. Or I couldn't teach my children because I had to take them to practice. I was busy with running around everywhere. Or maybe no calls to encourage people because, you know, I needed to mow the lawn. That's pretty important, isn't it? I can't let the grass go. You know, my HOA will fine me if I don't mow my grass, right? Can't have to let that happen. Or I couldn't make it to church on time because I needed some extra sleep. Because I was up late watching football last night, you know? That's tough. I was really tired. So I thought I'd take an extra hour. You see the problem with priorities? Mark chapter 12 and verse 30 says, all your being. We also see in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, verse we're all familiar with. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Priority. Or in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, He said to them there, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. Priority, isn't it? Denying yourself. Sometimes that's tough for us in this life. So you know you're a hobby Christian if you serve God in your spare time. If God isn't your all. And maybe you'll know you're a hobby Christian if you give God your spare money. You know, we use a lot of extra money on our hobbies, don't we? And a lot of times Christians may give only if they have spare money available. Only if they have money that's left over. They might give it then. But it's really funny how leftover money works, doesn't it? After we bought everything that we want, there normally isn't much left, is there? There isn't much left to give. But we see some scriptures that say that we need to take our giving very seriously. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2 says there, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside. That concept of laying something aside seems to me that we're planning for that. We're laying it aside before it's just left over. Storing up as he may prosper, storing up again, laying aside, storing up, that there be no collection when I come. Or in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. So let each one give as he purposes. Purposes takes some planning, doesn't it? Purposes isn't, okay, I'm going to open my wallet on Sunday morning and see what's there. And if there's something there, I'll put it into the collection plate. That's not purposing, that's not planning, is it? Give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So I think we all need to ask the question, are we giving to the Lord only what's left over? Or again, is He all? Is He everything? Are we purposing? Are we preparing? Are we planning for what we give to Him? Or you may know you're a hobby Christian if you serve God when you're interested. You know, our interest level in hobbies changes, doesn't it? Sometimes we get real interested and we work on our hobbies really hard. But other times we lose interest and we let our hobbies sit for a while. And we're not really interested in them. And you know, sometimes it's the same thing with Christians. Christians may serve the Lord only when they're in the mood to serve the Lord. And we see that some people get really fired up and they work hard for a time. But they may cool down and they may let it sit at other times. But the Bible commands us that we have to stay interested in spiritual things. In John chapter 4 and verse 34, Jesus said to them there, listen to these terms. It says, my food, my survival, my existence. What I'm on fire for, he says there, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Or in John chapter 19, in verse 30, when he had finished the sour wine, he said, it is finished. It is finished. We have to stay interested. We have to stay interested in spiritual things. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, it says there, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have stayed interested in spiritual things. And I have kept the faith. I added a little bit in there for emphasis. Or in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 15 and 16, we see the account of the church at Laodicea. Verse 15 says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because they weren't on fire for the Lord, because they weren't interested in the Lord, because they were taken over by worldliness, because they were more interested in the things of the world. They had better priorities, bigger priorities than the Lord. He says he'll spew, he'll vomit you out of his mouth. Or in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Direct command there. Let us not grow weary in doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Do not let us grow uninterested. Do not let us lose that fire we have for the Lord. Because in due season we will reap. We will reap from that. So the question this morning is, are you serving the Lord only when you're in the mood to serve the Lord? You also may know that you're a hobby Christian if you serve God with no urgency. Again, hobbies. Hobbies, as we defined earlier, provide us a relaxing pace. It provides us a pleasurable pace. We may piddle around with it a while. We may work on it a little and then put it down. We're in no rush. We're in no hurry. And we don't think it's a real big deal. Because it's relaxation for us, right? It's pleasurable for us. But Christians sometimes also do not have a sense of urgency about service to the Lord. There's work that needs done. There's work that needs done by many Christians that gets laid aside for something more important. We must be urgent. We must be diligent in the Lord's work. John chapter 4 and verse 35. John 4 and verse 35 says, do not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look into the fields, for they are already white for harvest. There's some urgency there. In John chapter 9 and verse 4, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, because night is coming when no more work can be done. So I ask this morning, are we lacking a sense of urgency in the Lord's work? Or maybe you know you're a hobby Christian if you have no desire for perfection. You know, when we think about hobbies, hobbies have little or no pressure on us for perfection, do they? That's why they're hobbies. We do hobbies again for pleasure. We do hobbies to relax. We're not experts. Or it wouldn't be a hobby, would it? We accept flaws in our hobbies. We accept errors that we make. And unfortunately, Christians may serve the Lord with no desire for perfection. Because after all, we're not perfect. But the problem is, there are many Christians that don't try to grow in knowledge and in application. We must be urgent and diligent in the Lord's work. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. It says there, "Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." We should always be striving for perfection. James chapter 1 and verse 4. The same thought there. "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Again, we need a desire. We need to have a desire for perfection. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." Our goal, our purpose is to continue growth, is to continue working towards perfection. In a scripture we read a lot, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever." So I ask the question to all of us today. Are we satisfied? Are we content with less than spiritual perfection? If you are, you may be a hobby Christian. You know you're a hobby Christian if you serve God only for pleasure. Again, we've already said hobbies are really for relaxation, they're for pleasure, they're for fun. Hobbies a lot of times will help us unwind. They'll help us relieve stress in our life. They'll help us wind down. And hobbies make us feel good, don't they? That's why we do them. They make us feel good. But unfortunately, we see a lot of Christians who serve the Lord only if it makes them feel good, don't we? A lot of times we try to avoid opposition and we try to avoid conflict. And we try to avoid those scriptures that condemn us because it makes us feel bad. You know, our service to the Lord is tough. Our service to the Lord is tough. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 in verse 27. It says there, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection." You know, when we read that, that's work, isn't it? Being disciplined, being self-disciplined, and bringing your body and your mind into subjection, that's work. It takes a lot of work to do that. It's tough. "Lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." We're in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus may suffer persecution." Anybody's Bible say that? No. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Will suffer persecution. That's a guarantee. I see that as a guarantee. If we are living godly, if we're following God, that says it's going to be tough. You're going to be persecuted in some way. Maybe not physical persecution, but we will be persecuted. That verse tells us a lot of things. One thing it tells us is if we're not suffering persecution, we're probably not living godly, are we? And maybe the reason we're not suffering persecution is we're treating service to God as a hobby. And we're only serving God when we like it. When it feels good. And we stop when we're persecuted, right? We give up. That's a hobby, Christian. Because we're guaranteed persecution. And we need to be ready for that as Christians because it's tough. It's tough. But we can't stop. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and or 4 and verse 7, excuse me. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7, one chapter over. Understanding that we will suffer persecution. We need to have this thought. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Regardless of the persecution we face, regardless of the conflict, regardless of the opposition through others and through Satan, we need to continue to fight the fight and finish the race and keep the faith. So I ask today, are we only serving the Lord? Are we only here in church service? Are we only reading the scriptures that make us feel good? And not challenging ourselves to be better and to grow and to be stronger? So we all need to look at this list. If anyone on this list fit us, then we're probably hobby Christians. We're treating this service to the Lord as just another hobby in our life. Some final thoughts here in comparison of hobby Christians and dedicated Christians. Where do you fall on this chart as we think about these things? Hobby Christians serve only in their spare time. Dedicated Christians serve the Lord first. Hobby Christians give what is left over. Dedicated Christians give to the Lord first. Hobby Christians serve when they're in the mood. Dedicated Christians serve with all fervor, all the time, and give all to the Lord. Hobby Christians see no urgency. They have no sense of urgency in serving the Lord. I'll serve Him when I get around to it. I'll serve Him when I have spare time. I'll serve Him when I'm well rested and enabled to make it to church services. I'll serve Him, I'll read the scriptures, I'll pray when the movie's over or the game's over. Dedicated Christians serve with great diligence. Great diligence. Hobby Christians are satisfied with imperfection. They're satisfied with not growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. They're satisfied with staying where they are in their Christian life. Dedicated Christians are always striving towards perfection. Always striving towards perfection. A hobby Christian serves when it makes them feel good. They read things that make them feel good. They teach other things that make them feel good. A dedicated Christian serves no matter what. Serves no matter what. Serves no matter how they feel, based on what they study and read. So where do you fall on this list? How would you define your life as a Christian? You know, as I think about each time we come together, we have an opportunity to offer an invitation. And I think that oftentimes, like a lot of things in life, we don't really stop and consider how important this invitation is. This part of our church service is one of the most important parts. But yet for most people, and I find myself doing it when I'm not preaching, it may be a time you pull out your songbook and you start to think about what song you're going to sing for invitation song. But you know, when we really think about an invitation, every time it's offered, we're making a decision. We're making a decision. One of three decisions are being made. Because we're either deciding to do nothing. Matthew chapter 25, there in verses 25 through 30, the parable of the talents. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But this Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from you and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away." And then what happens? They'll be cast into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So one of the choices we make every invitation is we do nothing. What does the scripture say is the result of that? Weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound very pleasurable, does it? Nothing in there shows me that I want that. Or maybe we make the decision to be dedicated. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Or Simon Peter answered in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's what we're saying when we say on the invitation, "I'm going to be dedicated to the Lord. I'm not going to be a hobby Christian. I'm going to be a dedicated Christian. I'm not going to do the things that we read in the scriptures and talked about today." So maybe that's the decision we make. Or maybe some of us decide that we're going to rededicate our lives. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, it says, "Repent therefore of your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven." So we see here, every invitation, which is very important in our lives, every time that someone stands up here and says, "We're giving you the opportunity to make one of these three decisions," every time we're choosing one of these. So the question is today, which one will you choose as we stand and sing this invitation song?